Good Monday afternoon. This is Rich Morrison with NAU Country Insurance. Welcome to Kicking Up Dust. Just wanted to talk a little bit this afternoon. I am going to be traveling shortly. Didn't have enough time to write today, but did want to get a message out on the markets today and kind of tell you what's going on and kind of what we think could happen as we go forward. And just looking at today's trade, the two big movers once again were the wheat market and the oil market. We did see crude oil hit $130 a barrel today, first time on this move that we've done that. And we saw the wheat market trade limit higher in the May Chicago contract. 85 cents is a new limit. The CME voted last week to raise the limits on wheat to 85, and also the expanded limit would be $1.30. I believe that will take effect tomorrow for Chicago wheat, since we did trade the limit higher today. I'll have to confirm that later, but the point is seeing some big premiums in the wheat market. Big story today from Reuters talked about Chinese minister suggesting that their wheat crop could possibly be the worst it's ever been. And so that's given a little more fuel back to the wheat market again. And so we are seeing some big price moves in wheat. That helped support, I think, the corn market a little bit today, especially in the new crop. But we did see a lot of spread trading in corn. Saw a lot of spread trading in the soybeans as well. So let me give you the rundown of the markets first, and then we'll talk a little bit more detail. But May corn ended up the day down 3.5 cents at 7.50¾, while December corn was up 13¼ at 6.42¾. Did trade to a new high at 6.50 early in the session. May soybeans were down a penny at the end of the day at 16.59½. November soybeans up 2¾ at 14.53. The May Chicago wheat up 85 cents at 12.94. The May Kansas City wheat up 37 cents at 12.51½. Minneapolis May wheat up 50½ cents at 11.97½, while Minneapolis new crop September wheat up 42¾ at 11.09½. May cotton closed, it was lower early, now up 52 points at the end of the day at 116.94. December cotton up 56 points at 101.21. The May rice contract down 19½ points at 16.25. June live cattle up $1.40 at 133.92. May feeder cattle up 255 at 164.90, and the June hogs down 75 cents at 111 even. The dollar index up 0.6 of a point, another new high here this morning in the dollar today. Crude oil ended up, or right now, up 366 a barrel at 119.34. Gold is up $32 an ounce at 19.99 an ounce. The Dow down 689 points at 32,894. So what's happening? Well, I think the big story, as I flip on the TV briefly here today, is the discussion about crude oil. I guess the U.S. government having discussions with not only Middle Eastern countries, possibly Iran, possibly Venezuela, regarding production of crude. So not sure where that's going, but the fact that we've gotten to that point, I think, has continued to push the oil market higher. With higher oil prices, we're seeing some big selling in the stock market once again. People nervous about the ability of companies to continue to make money with higher petroleum prices. Flipping over to wheat, again, the big story, I think, is China here today saying that its crop is likely to be the worst it's been in many, many years. You couple that with the inability of the world to buy anything from Russia, or unwillingness, I should say, inability possibly of Ukraine to be able to ship wheat, possible issues with them even planting a crop this year. We've got a lot of different issues in wheat that wheat market is trying to digest right now. That said, the corn and the soybean markets today, and the cotton market as well, kind of ho-hum. We did have weekly exports shipments last week. Those were out this morning. The corn shipments continued fairly strong seasonally, 1.582 million metric tons. Soybean shipments last week at 766,000 tons, which is about the same as it had been the previous week. Wheat shipments at 343,000 tons, down about 90,000 from the previous week. So nothing there to get too concerned about or get hyped up about as we move forward. So The corn bean markets also trying to figure out what we need to plant this year. Right now and over the last week or so, there's been a big premium in corn versus soybeans. We've seen that ratio between corn and December corn and November soybeans continue to narrow down to 2.26 to 1 this afternoon. Just about 10 days ago, it was over 2.5 or almost 2.5 to 1. So we've seen that narrow significantly. And I think that goes along with higher fertilizer prices, with higher energy costs, that the perception is that we need to try to now try to buy corn acres. And so the market's doing that. I did have a conversation with a seed dealer in Illinois today. He confirmed to me that he's seeing some people switching some orders. He's been switching some corn orders to soybeans. And so thought that was kind of interesting. And this, again, on ground, of course, that didn't have any nitrogen put on last fall. But I still think that's interesting that we're starting to see a little bit more of that happening with the rally in the bean market certainly being a factor. Also, the toughness of possibly getting inputs here this spring. So that's a big factor in the market. You did again see corn gain, you know, really 11 cents on the bean market here today. Otherwise, I think we're kind of sort of waiting on USDA's supply demand report this Wednesday. You know, normally this March report is kind of a snoozer, but this year, I think the two things I'm really looking for. Number one, of course, updates in the South American production numbers. I think we've pretty well settled into the fact that the Brazilian bean crop is probably going to be in the low 120 million ton range, down about 20 million from where we started the year at. The Argentina crop is going to be down maybe 3, 4, 5 million tons from where we started at, down in the low 40s. They have gotten rain over the last 10 days in southern Brazil and Argentina. So it's probably stopped the bleeding on some of these yields and maybe actually added some bushels to some very, very late crops. Also probably helped out the double crop, especially in the corn in parts of Brazil. So we're going to look for that in the report on Wednesday. I'll also be really curious to see how USDA factors in the war and the impact potentially on Russian exports, the impact on Ukrainian exports, what it means to other countries potentially down the road. I don't know if USDA has fully gotten into that with its numbers this month. But again, I'll be curious to see what they do project for exports for many countries in the world, especially in wheat, but also corn as well. So I think that's going to be a big story coming out of the report here on Wednesday. This Thursday morning, I'll host what we call the NAU Country Aftermath. That's at 9 a.m. We'll talk all about the previous day's report, look at some updated price charts, look at updated supply-demand numbers, etc. So please sign up, join me on Thursday morning. We'll dig into all those numbers live at 9 a.m. on Thursday. Elsewhere in the marketplace, the cattle market was firm today. I think the fact that the corn market finally took a breath and backed up, allowed the cattle market to recover. We saw both live and feeders up over $1, $2 in the feeder market today. So that was a positive. I think that we did see that deep breath in the corn market as old crop corn backed off a little bit. I would assume, I know I've talked to a lot of people that are having trouble getting basis bids in a lot of places, and I would start to assume with today, at least the market backing off a little bit might help that out. The fact that we've at least stabilized, we're not trading limit higher, I think that that'll start to put a little more faith in the markets all the way down to, you know, the end user to finally step up and start placing some bids. They may not be very attractive. You know, keep in mind that at, you know, 750 futures in corn, it all of a sudden brings out a lot of selling. And I'm sure the last week or so we've seen a big pickup in selling. And so a lot of these end users probably not having to bid up right now to buy a lot. But we should at least start to see some bids put out into the marketplace. Elsewhere, I really can't come up with anything across the, as I look at many of the markets. We do know that historically the oil market tends to lead a lot of the commodities. So I definitely am encouraging people to keep an eye on the oil market. The dollar being sharply higher again at some point will probably be a factor, certainly in the export markets. Maybe not just yet as we're uncertain about supply, but at some point I would think that that's going to be an issue. And I think we all really know that at some point in time we're going to see these markets retreat backwards again. And so I'm still a proponent of using minimum price type marketing, where I would be making some sales, whether it's cash or futures, and replace it with an out-of-the-money call option. I think at these price levels, we've got profit in these numbers. I'm not afraid to spend a little bit of that profit to give me a second chance if this market keeps going higher. And again, I think it really alleviates my fear of missing out, that if I sell too soon and the market continues to run higher, that I would be missing out on something. So I don't want to feel that. That's why I think using out-of-the-money options helps me to alleviate some of that. In the old crop, if I were to liquidate something there, I'd probably be looking at some out-of-the-money May options. And in new crop, you can go all the way out to the December, the November contracts. You could buy the nearby Mays, or you can buy short-dated options. You could go out to, say, a July short-dated call on December corn, for example, and that would give you coverage to the upside through late June. So there's some different ways that you can get option coverage, option protection to the upside without spending the full amount. But again, I think to me it helps me to feel a little bit better that if I sell today and all of a sudden tomorrow we're living up, that at least I have a way to be able to make some money to go along for the ride. And if it doesn't, if we're done and this thing finally corrects and goes to the downside, then at least I know I've sold some tremendous levels. So I think with both old and new crop, that's a strategy I want to continue to look at, even though these call options are pretty pricey. You know, there's some other things you could do, like a call option spread. You know, maybe I go buy an out-of-the-money option. For example, if I'm selling old crop corn, maybe I go buy it, say, an 850 May call. Maybe I go sell a $10 call against it to give me a window to the upside, but by selling the call, the $10 call, at least it shortens the cost on the overall strategy. So there's some things there. I would encourage you to talk to your broker. We've got a lot of smart people out here that are willing to help, and by all means, give them a buzz, and they can kind of talk you through some of these strategies if you're not comfortable. Otherwise, we've got crop insurance still another 8 days until the sale's closing. The ECO program, I think, for corn soybeans gives you a trigger at 95% this year, both on bushels, price, any combination. I think stacks insurance as well on cotton makes a lot of sense with a $1.03 price. Having a 90% trigger there, either on price or on county yields, I think there's some tremendous opportunities here. So take a look at that with your agent as well and see if that, this year in particular, with these prices where they're at, see if that gives you some extra protection and hopefully allows you to lock in some record revenue numbers here for this spring. So with that, I'm going to sign off. Hope you all have a great day. And for those that tune in on the aftermath, I'll be talking to you on Thursday morning. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.